on the run. They were running away from...
Listen, who is it, Rabbi Akiva?
Yes, Bar Kokhba.
This is talking about over 200-300 years after the Korban.
No, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Bar Kokhba was 52 years. Beitar was between 50 to 70 years. This is the Gzeir Shel Shmad. How old was Rabbi Akiva when Rabbi Akiva died 120 years old? Rabbi Akiva died, he was from the last of the Aser Rogi Malchus, which concluded approximately 52 years after the Churban. So Rabbi Akiva, that means he lived at least 50 years before the Churban, at least.
Okay.
So when he was 25 years old, he saw what the Beis HaMikdash was, what he was, you're telling me,
well, when he was 25, he wasn't a Talmud.
Fine, so he was 40 years old. And also,
he had to be 40. Okay.
Fine. And even if he was 25, it doesn't mean that he didn't need the Korban Pesach. He was an Amoretz. He was unlearned.
But this is not talking about the Amoretz from Rabbi Akiva.
Okay, but Rabbi Akiva now, he's a Zokain. He's sitting in Bnei Brak and they're dashing. They're running from the Romans. Rabbi Akiva, when he was a young man, well, Rabbi Akiva, if you're an Amoretz, you can't eat the Korban Pesach. Just because he was an Amoretz, he also ate from the Korban Pesach.
No, but he was in Bnei Brak. We're talking in his later.
Now, exactly. But the point is, right. But the point is, Rabbi Akiva and all of the people listening to the story, they all, Rabbi Belsky says, all witnessed firsthand the bring of the Korban Pesach Bezman Shabbos Hamikdash Hayakayim in the tail end of the Bayis Sheni. They all saw and lived, experienced the Churban, the Churban Bayis Sheni. They all lived during the era of the Bayis Sheni, and now the Bayis Sheni was destroyed. And now they're running for their lives. They're hiding in a cave. And it's the night of Pesach. And then you're Saber B'Yitzias Mishrem Kolos HaLayu. And Shigia Talmideihem. Now here's Rabbi Belsky's question. If it was me and you, he doesn't say himself, but if it was me and you, it would now be the night of Pesach. And you're running for your life. There's been a Churban, a cataclysmic Churban. The whole Klal Yisrael has been decimated. Millions of people were murdered. I think they say 4 million people died in the Baal Churban Bayis Sheni. 4 million people. This is an incredible Churban. They're running for their lives. They're probably depressed. They have an excuse to be as depressed as you can possibly be. And now it's the Lel Pesach. What would you do? What would you do Lel Pesach after such a Churban? And you're running, you would sit around, you commiserate. You would sit around the table and you would say, Oy vey, remember the good old days? There was a Beis HaMikdash, and now it's been destroyed, and now we're hopeless, we're depressed, and everyone's dead, and we're running for our lives, there's no hope anymore. It's a perfect time to commiserate. Okay? In fact, I'll prove to you, in some shuls, they make a Mishaberach for the people who don't talk during davening. Who made that Mishaberach? The Taisus Yom Tif. When did they make that Mishaberach? The Mishaberach was made in the aftermath of Tach V'tat. Gzeres Tach V'tat, 1648. The Chmelnytsky massacres. Chmelnytsky has a statue of himself in Ukraine. Chmelnytsky is still a hero in Ukraine. These hilarious
they have cities named after him.
Biden is giving money.
It's not far from Mezovich, it's called Chmelnytsky.
Exactly, and they have a statue of him. And these places that Biden is giving your taxpayer money, not my taxpayer money, because it's now coming very soon, I'm not paying much tax, but your taxpayer money is going to give these people money, humanitarian aid, and weapons. Listen, none of my business. These people, they're suffering, none of my business. But you should know these people, they worship Chmelnytsky. They still worship him. That's what they teach them there.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Not only Chmelnytsky, during the World War II, there was Bandera, which organized the whole SS divisions, right? And there is statues for him now. But not only that,
yeah.
Nobody talks about it, but if you go with Wikipedia, they describe it there. Like, there is, in every city, schools are named after him. They have statues of him, and that's probably the main guy and his underlings also. So in the Mariupol, the city which they bombed to death now, the Russians, that there is the SS brigades.
SS brigades.
His followers defending it.
So why is the ADF, the ADF says,
Russians don't want to go in and street fight. They want, they doing the same, like they starving them to death. They close down.
A siege, old-fashioned siege.
Yes.
Old-fashioned siege. They are. Why is the ADL apologizing for these guys? I don't understand. The ADL just keep their mouth shut. Just keep your mouth. ADL says they're Nazis, but they're not bad Nazis. They're good Nazis. The ADL says, "I'm a shugoyim." Who asked you? Just keep your mouth shut. No, they're good Nazis. There's a good Nazi and a bad Nazi. It's a demon. That's what the ADL.
The chapter for the is called Azov Battalions, the chapter for them. They have a chapter, the same like the Palestinians. They have a chapter. They have to get rid first of the Russians and then the Jews. And then we will deal with the free Ukrainian. They have a chapter and it's written by them.
So why then does the ADL apologize for them? ADL says they're good. They're good Nazis.
Yes, they're good.
Mamish.
Yeah, because politically correct. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
I unbelievable. All right, any event, if we, in going back to Tach V'Tat, Chmelnytsky, so what happened? There was such incredible depression. This is the fact. It could not be worse. Some say it was even worse than the Holocaust, what happened there. And after it was over, or I don't know if it was over, or at least when it got a little bit better, people came back to shul. They came back to shul for Shabbos. And you know what happened? No one wanted to daven. No one wanted to daven. They just sat around in shul. They come Shabbos, 9 o'clock. They're depressed out of their mind because everyone lost people in their family. They lost their parnos. They lost everything. Murder. They were so devastated. They just come. They came to shul 9 o'clock to shmooze, and they just commiserated the whole time. And the rabbi said, "You know, Rabbi Yisrael, you came here already. Let's daven already. I'm not interested. So what are you coming for? We're coming to commiserate. We're coming to commiserate." So the rabbi made a mishaberach. Anyone who comes to shul and doesn't talk. When he said the mishvech not to talk, is not about talking stam about the Yankees and the Mets, and to talk about the Russians, and to talk about the elections, and to talk about echveis, I don't know, COVID. Anyone who doesn't talk about the tsaros, but instead is willing to come and daven, may Hashem give him an extra special blessing. The mishaberach that they say in some shuls, give a mishaberach to a person who doesn't talk during davening, it wasn't just stam, like you go today, people in shul, you come to people in shul today, people are talking during davening. What are they talking about? They're talking about Trump, Biden, the stock market, the cost of, how much it costs to buy food, where are you going for Pesach? Which hotel are you going to? The latest mishnah, no one's talking about it, people are talking about in Yadidiyayimah. So the rabbi today makes this, you shouldn't stop talking, we're going to make the Mishra Berach. The Mishra Berach that they prepared and printed in the Siddur that they're talking about is the Mishra Berach that the Tzitz Yomtiv made for people who came back from Grois Tzaris and didn't want to daven. They were so depressed, they just wanted to talk about their Tzaris. So they made the Mishra Berach, stop talking about your Tzaris and let's daven already. So Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Elizabeth Azariah, and all Rabbi Yossi, all the other people in the story in the Haggadah, what do you think they would have been talking about? They would come together on the night of Pesach, and they would say, "Oh, remember the good old days? The good old days we sat with Yerushalayim HaKodesh, we had a Beis HaMikdash, we had a delicious meal, and we said a Hallel. And now look where we are now. 4 million people have been murdered. We're running for our lives. The future of the Jewish people does not look too good. And they're sitting in a cave. Do you think they would have the stamina, they would have the frame of mind to sit down and talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim? You gotta be joking. they would talk about their tzaras. That's what you would expect. And yet, you know what it says in the Haggadah? Something that is beyond belief. Hayu misaprin, they were in Bnei Barak, in a cave, on the night of Pesach, and instead of commiserating about the tzaras that they have, and recalling the memory of the good old days, not that long ago, when they were in Yerushalayim, Mir HaKadosh, eating Karban Pesach, you know what they did the whole night? Like nothing ever happened. Hayu misaprin, biyitzias mitzrayim kol oysa halayla. Unbelievable. This is greatness. They were able to let go of all of the tzaras. They let go of all of the tzaras and make believe they don't have a worry in the world and reflect upon the nisim v'niflois of Yitzias Mitzrayim in such a matzif. When you would expect on the anniversary of this momentous day, reflecting what they once upon a time had? No, they forgot about it. That's godless. What? Mr. Rapport, you're on mute. I can't hear you.
I have your God up, Rabbi Sanders.
Yes, I know that I got up. I have the Yeah. You're on mute again. I can't hear you, you're on mute. Okay, let's go for it. This is the lesson of this story. The lesson of this story, Mr. Rapport, I'm sure you know, if you wanted to say something, I can't hear because you're on mute. You're still on mute, so I can't hear what you wanted to, if you were saying something. A very easy way to take off mute is just hold down the space bar. Hold down the space bar right
okay.
now.
Okay, you hear me now?
Yeah.
Rabbi Sanders brings down, there's two maishas, why Bnei Barak and why Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the Rebbe in Bnei Barak, but he says there were two maishas brought down in the Gemara, one of them set the Makos, where they could hear the Romans 12 miles away, and they were very depressed, and he was able to cheer them up. The second is a famous story with the fox coming out.
Yeah.
So they went to Rabbi Akiva because they were all depressed. Rabbi Akiva had a more positive outlook.
Right.
Dafka Rabbi Akiva.
He cheered them up. But he was only one person. He wasn't the only person speaking. There were many people over in this story. They were all participating together. They were all on the same level. It doesn't say that Rabbi Akiva took the lead.
According to Rabbi Sander,
okay.
All the other...
I am Talmud Torah. Okay.
He was in Rome negotiating with the Romans. But he said all the others, Rabbi Lesmanzai, they were all, like you said, Rabbi, they were all very down, very depressed.
That's the shocking thing of this story. It's that even though this night, all of the conditions, all the conditions of what an ordinary you would expect, the anniversary of Pesach, and all of them lived at the time when there was the Beis HaMikdash, you would think they would come together and they would just say, oh, I remember what used to be. Yet, they forgot about it. It's like nothing ever happened. And they were with the same b'den kol oysa halayla. And what's very important is, at Shabbat Talmideihem, this is very important. They made a very big roshim on their Talmidim. Because the Talmidim, you know, the students were saying, oh, you know, that's it, Judaism is over. When they saw their teachers, they were able to, no, so there's no Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't make a difference. Life goes on. It made a roshim that the Talmidim should want to say Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. What's that all about? What's it all about? Achabot Talmidim V'yom Rabbi Sen Higiyaz Man Kriya Shel Shacharis. What? What's that come? To stop saying now it's about Kriya. There's a lot of stuff. I don't know. But the point is, if not for what Rabbi Akiva did, and Rabbi Gamliel, all the people there in this story, the Talmidim would say, the Talmidim didn't see the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Didn't see the Beis HaMikdash in its all glory. They didn't see it. All the Talmidim were born, these students were young students, they were born into a world of nothing. Everyone, there were 4 and 5 million people that were murdered by the Romans. Gone. They were born into abject poverty. Jews were hated. They were slaves. And they hear about, oh, you know, once upon a time, Jews said, they said, what? Beis HaMikdash? What are you talking about? Who's interested in this? A Talmud, a student, a young person would want to go and be Jewish? And the parents, the Zakenim, these were Zakenim. Rabbi Akiva was probably almost 120 years old by in this story. This was not long before he was killed. And they would go and have the Koiches HaNefesh to want to go and talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's incredible. They sat together that night. They forgot about all their tzaras. They learned about the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which and made such an impression upon the students, such a roshim, that the students said, Rebbe, we want to be part of this. We want to be able to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim. We want to rebuild what we witnessed from you. The godliness of what they did is just not to be believed. I want to add to this another nekuda. There's almost an obsession when you study the Mefarshim about Pesach, is the first night of Pesach is going to be the first night of Tisha B'Av. I mean, pardon the expression, okay? I hope Hashem will forgive me for this. Who cares? Who cares about Tisha B'Av?
You're on tape.
All right, I'm on tape. Don't worry. The chance that someone will ever listen to this share, one in a billion. What difference does it make? The first night of Tisha B'Av at Bash, the first night of Tisha B'Av is going to be the night of Pesach is the night of Tisha B'Av. So what? What else is new? What difference does it make? And that's why we have an egg. I mean, everything has a million reasons. Let's not forget, I have an egg and you do this and you do that. What's in there? Terry says, no, there's a very powerful lesson. The lesson is the story. The story, it's come out the first thing in the Haggadah, right after you say Avon Min Lepharos, to come out the very beginning of the Haggadah, Maisa. This story is gold. This story creates a Roshim. There's no Beis HaMikdash. There's no Karban Pesach. See, today we live in America. Today we have no clue what we're missing. Today, unfortunately, the whole thing is totally lost on us. Today what we think about is the food good, you know, and which hotel are you in, and what are your friends doing in the other hotel, and this and that. But the person really by Pesach should be depressed out of his mind. There's no Karban Pesach. What we do on the night of Pesach is a skeleton, not even a skeleton of dry bones, compared to what it should be, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim. And all the conditions of the Seder and Golos should bring upon us depression. And yet, we're reminded with Rabbi Akiva and all of his chaverim, they forgot about all the problems. And it didn't make a difference where they are. There's no Beis HaMikdash. They were mesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim kol oisa halayla. And they made such an impression upon their students. Vishinantam livonecha elu hatalmidim. Where the student said, Rabbi Seinu, higiyas man kriyash meshel shachris. We want to be part of this. We want to chelik in this. We want to be the new morning for you. We want to rebuild. Take this lesson and don't forget to bring this lesson into Tisha B'Av. When it will be a couple of months from now, and if Chas V'Shom the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt, and you'll be sitting on the floor, and you'll be reminiscing about, oh, you know, once upon a time there was a Beis HaMikdash, we had an Avodah, and there were all these wonderful things that we had, but you know something? It's all over. There's no hope. Take this ingredient of optimism, of recognizing that it's true, it needs to be a Beis HaMikdash, but you can be a Jew, you can live a life of Yadus, just the same without the Beis HaMikdash. Take the optimism of what we're doing here on the night of Pesach, especially from this story, and don't forget this is the most important night of the year that you need this exact same level of optimism is Tisha B'Av. Because Tisha B'Av is where you're gonna dwell upon the Chorban, and it's critical for you to inject into the Chorban the optimism of of the Maisa with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon and all the people in Bnei Brak. I told this part before. I once heard from Simcha Soloveitchik. He said, it's a very, very, very powerful part of what he said. He said that if you wake up in the morning and you did not yet say Birchas Kriyas Shema, you didn't say Birchas Kriyas Shema yet, are you allowed to learn Torah? Are you allowed to learn? No. You're not allowed to learn Mishnayis. You're not allowed to learn Gemara. You're not allowed to learn Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to learn Chumash. You're not allowed to learn Torah until you recite Birchos HaTorah. Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvesa V'tzivonu La'asoik B'divrei Sorah V'hadevna and Asher Boch Arbanu. You're not allowed to. That's the halacha. You're not allowed to learn Torah until you recite Birchos HaTorah. Let's say you have on the shelf a book of stories. You pick your favorite author, Yechiel Spiro, Pesach Kron, Yair Weinstock, I don't know, all the big players. Przanski, you name it. Take the biggest and the best and listen to the most inspirational story you've ever heard your entire life. Are you allowed to read this inspirational story that will change your life before reciting Birchos HaTorah? And the answer is yes. Yes, you can. You're allowed to take out that book and read it from cover to cover. It might not be the best thing to do. You should go daven. There's reason I'm thinking of mitzvahs. But if you know you wake up early and you didn't daven yet, you have nothing to do and you want to go read some stories from inspiration, gesunde hate. You don't have to. You're not required to recite Birchos HaTorah before you read these stories. Let's say you want to read a story that's in the Gemara, the most boring, mundane, simplistic story which doesn't give you any inspiration. Like this story here, Maisa. There was a Maisa, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon. I don't remember all the names of the people there, Lisbon, wherever they were. They were sitting in Bnei Barak. There's no halacha. I mean, on a very simple level, there's no halacha. It's a story. They were sitting in Bnei Barak and they were talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Talmidim said, Rebbe, it's time to get up. It's time to daven. There's nothing very inspiring about that story. It's a very, very simple story. Are you allowed to read that story just, you know, lip service before you recite Birchos HaTorah? And the answer is no, you're not. What? How could it be? How could it be that Przanski, I can read the whole book, and this story you can't? Because this story is Chazal. This story is recorded in a Braisa. This story is on record in the words of Chachleinu Zichronim Levracha. And if they compile this as part of the Torah Shebaal Peh, you're not allowed to read this simple story until you recite Birchos HaTorah. Any other inspirational story that will change your life, mutter. It's not Torah. And when you have that's an incredible yisoid. This is what I told you is halachically correct, and that forces you to appreciate a story is not a story. A story is from Chazal is not just a story. There is a depth in the simplest story that is recorded by Chazal that is far more profound and earth-shattering than a story of Hashgacha Pratis that will ever happen after the Chasima of the word of the Talmud and the Chasima of the Divrei Chazal. And this story, if it's in the Haggadah, Mr. Rapport, you presented, you mentioned you have 100,000, probably thousands of Haggadahs, thousands upon thousands of Haggadahs, and everyone has a little different take on it. But Rabelsky, what he said over here is a very powerful limud. Is you have all the reasons for these people to be depressed because they saw and lived the real thing. They lived through the real thing. all the people in the story once upon a time was in the Beis HaMikdash on the night of Pesach, on the day of Pesach, brought the Karban Pesach, ate the Karban Pesach. They witnessed now a Holocaust. And now there was...
You the story? You
what?
The story with the Blue Shiva Rebbe? There's a famous... May or may know the story with the Blue Shiva Rebbe. You know the story, Rebbe?
No.
There's a famous...
With the Shofar, Yom Kippur.
In the camps. In the camps.
Yeah, we know it. We know the Shofar is over here by Ezra Fried has the Shofar.
Yeah, it's a famous story within the camps. He was unfortunately in the camps, and they managed to scrape enough oil in a container, and they for Hanukkah. And the Rebbe was standing there for a minute before he made the brachas. So a man walked over to him afterwards, after he's made, especially he met, before he made the Shekhiano.
Yeah.
He asked him, "How could you make a Shekhiano? How do you call this a life that we're living? Look where we are." And the Rebbe told him, you know, I was thinking the same thing. But he said, look around, how many Jews sacrificed and risked their lives to come to be part of this mitzvah, to light the candle. They all recognize the light. And we live for this. That's the Shekhiano I have. So I guess the comparison in time of Chazal was the same thing.
You're on mute. You're on mute, Mr. Rapport. You went on mute again.
There we go. You never heard the story, right?
I did. It's a beautiful story. Right,
story. Oh, okay.
It fits real. Can I, while we're on this, a little bit, I was going to just tie in another thing, or Belsky points, it alludes to this, is that, you know, this machlokes in the Gemara, this ties into what we just said. In the Haggadah, we talk about, Omar Belos Ben Azariah, Hareni Kevin Shibishon, Lezuchisi, I did not marry Shetu, Omi Yitzias, Mishraim Balelois, Acha Dorsha Ben Zoyma. Ben Dorsha, we have this part of the Haggadah, Shenemal Mantisos Yom Tzeis Lameres Ram Kol Yimechayach Yimechayecha Hayomim Kol Yimechayecha. The words Kol Yimechayecha Halelois. What about the Chachamim? They say no. The Chachamim Yimechayecha L'mazeh Kol Yimechayecha L'havi Mois HaMashiach. Turns out when you finish the Haggadah, there's a machlekes in the Haggadah about we, that the Zman to say Yitzias Mitzrayim, we have a special ribui, we emphasize at night, and to say it during the time, the Chum say it's Yimos HaMashiach. Now, the truth is, Elu, we have a principle, Elu the Elu Divri Elokim Chai. There's an enormous amount of depth in what this means that we learn from this pasuk. Yitzias Mitzrayim is not only to be said remembering the miracles during the day. There's a time to say Maskei Yitzias Mitzrayim at night, and according to the Chacham, the times of Mashiach. Now, what does this mean exactly? So, Arbelsky, I don't know if it's saying these exact words, but basically, it's very easy to sit back when everything in life is wonderful. I have a Pesach Seder, and celebrate our chayrus, our renewal, when everything is fun. That is symbolized in reciting Yitzias Mitzrayim by day. Saying Yitzias Mitzrayim at night represents exactly this principle, exactly what we just said, with the mice in Bnei Barak. They were in Bnei Barak. It was the darkest of the darkest. It was the darkest period in Jewish history. It was a time where it's called in Chazal Gezeras Hashmad. If they catch a Jew doing the mitzvah, they were executed, if not tortured. It was during this time period when the story in Bnei Brak happened, when the Asora Haruge Malchus were executed. This was the time of the Asora Haruge Malchus, during these 52 years between the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Churban of Beitar. That's when the Maisa of Bnei Brak happened. This is the darkest times. And as we just expressed, this story illustrates a fulfillment of Balelos, even in dark times. The Chachamim, they ate another Nakuda. And that is, there's going to come a time when Mashiach will come. And the miracles of Mashiach will be so magnificent and enormous that they will, the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim will pale in comparison to what's going to happen. And at that point in time, there will be a very great Yetzer Hara to forget about Mitzrayim. Why would you want to go talk about Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, when you have unlimited source material and miracles to talk about the Geula Hasida, what happens at the time of Mashiach? And the answer is no. Don't forget where you come from. You know, what it's like? It's like you have a very big celebrity, you have a person who was a nobody. He was a poor beggar. He didn't have what to eat. He didn't have any clothing. He had any shelter. And there was a person in the neighborhood. You know, I see you. You're a good guy. You're falling on hard times. You know what? Let me help you. Come, I have a basement. You can stay in the basement. I'll give you a little job. I'll try to make some phone calls, help you out a little bit. And slowly, little by little, this person, he pulls himself out of his situation. He gets a little parnasa. And one thing leads to another. Gets his own house. He makes a good parnasa. And then becomes very successful. And one day, lo and behold, he rises to the top in this industry. And then the king, or let's say in America, the president of the United States calls him up and says, I need you. I need you. I hear that you are the top in your field and you got to come to the White House. We're going to give you a job. We're going to make you into a very chashuv person. And they make him mamish the spitz. And then there's a very big event. And all of the world leaders come to mekabel panim with this person. And this little guy, who once upon a time took him in off the street and helped him out, he also comes. But this guy who took him in is a nobody relative to heads of state. You have a room filled with every other yukul is another prime minister or president, general or multi-billionaire, king or queen. And this guy's also in the audience. And this guy is a nobody. He's a nobody. It's very, very big Yetzirah for the person who has become who he is to forget about the little guy who got him there. And just to give cover to all the new presidents and the prime ministers and all these, don't forget where you come from. Even though this guy in the audience is a nobody, he's a nobody in everyone's eyes, and you can forget about him, don't forget what he did for you. Don't forget how that Midah HaKaras HaToiv, he brought you here. Same thing. It's going to come a point in time when Mashiach will come and the miracles will outshine all the miracles that ever happened to Klal Yisrael from the beginning of history. The Pasuk says, Mantiskas, it says, Chami Eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha Hayamim. Right now, you know, you're all I got. Right now, you sing Hashem's praise because that's all we got. But there's going to come a point in time when this is going to be nothing. Don't forget your humble beginnings, where you've come from. The Midah HaKaras HaToiv is not just where you are now. It's where you were way, way, way back, when no one else wanted to pay attention to. So it turns out that both the Chachamim and Ben Zoyma are coming to highlight a dimension of the obligation of Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just in the good times. The good times are Bayoim, today, if we're supreme on top of the entire world, that's the Yom of today. But don't forget, even now in this world that we're in, there are very dark times. And during those very dark times, we can be very easily be miyayish and give up. Ben Zoyma says, "Kol yemei chayecha, even in the darkest of times, forget about your problems and sing Hashem's praises, no different than the Maisim Bnei Brak. The Chachamim, they're not coming to disagree. Lohavi yemeis HaMashiach. There's another tekufa where it will be a very big nesoyin to forget about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Times of Mashiach, don't forget to sing Hashem's praises then either. So in other words, this drasha, the Chacham and Ben Zoyma, are coming to highlight nisyonos, to kufos, when there will be a very great yetzer hara to forget about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Either because of persecution, or because the miracles that we will experience are going to be so magnificent, who would even think that we should reflect back upon this miracle, which pales in comparison? These are to kufos eras where we would be inclined to just forget about it. Kol yemei chayecha. What you do on the night of the Seder is essential for who you are in the worst of times and even in the best of times. This is where the action is. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, thank you for coming. Have a wonderful evening.
This goes back to my discussion of the Tanur Chanai. That how come the Talmidim were not with them? They only came in the morning. It was a strategy meeting about what to do with Bar Kokhba.
It says they were the Mesaber B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't say
that. Yeah, they were talking the lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim to Yetzias now. Instead of saying Yetzias...
I hear. I'm not going to disagree.
And the Rabbanan, in the morning, before that light, the Chacham, the kids came over, the Talmidim came in and says, okay, you have sitting long enough, you better get out of here, because if you don't go to Dav, they're going to chayshit.
All right, you tell me that it was a battle plan.
It was a
strategy meeting. The Agudas Yisrael of America claims that on top of this cave there was the flag of the logo of the Agudas Yisrael of America, and this was a Moetzes Gedolei Yisrael meeting.
You should know that I was talking lately. There's a guy in Achim Kasher.
Yeah, Menachem Kasha, the Torah Shlema.
Right. Torah Shlema. He started writing the Torah Shlema when he was like 25 years old.
He never finished.
He
was
sent